It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Romans, and so please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading today with the 15th verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So if you'd please open your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 15. While you're doing that, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to contact us, we have several ways. You could write to us, and our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com, and that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And we'd love for you to check our website out, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. The email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. Our website is parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Beginning to read now with Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible thing of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What a sad, sad statement. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the precious word. Father, thank you, and I praise you for the opportunity to read your word. You have honored us with your word. We use the old King James. We have not moved from that and will not move from that. It is the closest text that we have today, and we need to enjoy that, and it is the power. And so when we begin to change, Father, and look into other texts, it takes away from your power and your authority. We don't want to do that. We know if someone is saved, they get saved because of your power. We want to proclaim your word, and we want to proclaim it clearly, and we want folks to hear it, and we want them to be saved, to be born again. So help us today, Father, to proclaim your word clearly and simply, that folks will be saved, and folks will grow, and folks without a question, as the scripture has said today, there'll be no excuse because of all the evidence. And Father, if anyone has ever listened to one of these radio programs, we have made it so clear how to be saved, how to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So please, have all listened today so carefully and prayerfully that they come to know you as their Savior, and then begin the wonderful walk. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This wonderful gospel, as we look in verse 15, you know, in even verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You know, he just keeps wanting to go to Rome, and he has had a problem getting there because the Lord just keeps directing him another way. There will be a time that Paul will arrive at Rome, and we know that he does according to the scripture. But right now, his heart is towards them. He would love to see them. He would love to teach them and grow them in the Word of God. There are many there that are born again believers. There are many there that need to be born again, need to be saved. He said, I am ready to come and to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. You need to hear the Word of God. And the message is equal today as we enjoy the use of the radio ministry and folks hear the Word of God through this radio. It's because they need to hear the truth. The truth needs to be proclaimed. And we just ask constantly that the Lord would bless it. And the folks here at the at Parkview pray for the radio ministry because they want this word to go out and the lost to be saved. And as Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. One man, as I've shared this last time we were together, but one man broke it down in this manner. The aim of the gospel of God is unto salvation. The scope of the gospel is to each and every one that believe. The revelation of the gospel is, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And that's exactly what we have in this verse of Scripture as we look at the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul spoke it so clearly. He loved the gospel. He didn't back away from telling anyone about it because it was the greatest news. And it's the greatest news we have. We seem to be a little backwards when it comes to proclaiming the gospel. And God, please forgive us for that, because we need to proclaim that precious word, change hearts, change lives, that folks will be born again. He is ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to tell kings. I'm going to tell princes. I'm going to tell governors. I'm going to tell presidents. I'm going to tell every person, from the poorest to the richest to the poorest, I'm going to tell them this sweet, beautiful news of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If you believe he is a Son of God, he has come to save those that are lost, and he has shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and died there and rose again 3 days later, you believe that. Ask him to come into your heart and know Jesus personally, because he's alive. All other religions, their prophets, their saviors, their messiahs, they've all died. Well, Jesus died to take our sins away, but he rose again, and he is the right hand of the Father right now. And Paul is saying here, I'm not ashamed, I've got the gospel, I want to take it out. And the gospel, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for is the power of God unto salvation. So the aim of the gospel is unto salvation. Who is it for? To everyone that believes. That's the scope of the gospel. And then the last, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And so the revelation of the gospel is shared in verse 17. The revelation of the gospel is therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. Live life is faith. Live by faith, please. We are saved by God's grace through faith. We are kept by faith. We are justified by faith. Every born again individual, every born again one has been saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin. If you're saved, you've been saved from guilt, the guilt, the penalty, and the sin. Please, that trust in Jesus today. because that guilt, you will take that guilt, you'll take that penalty, that sin will condemn you to hell. It already has. You're condemned already if you have not believed in the Son of God. So please come to Jesus today and be saved. Do you realize that every believer is daily being saved from the habit or the dominion of sin? You see, we receive salvation. It's a gift given from God. But He doesn't just save us and say, okay, here's your ticket to heaven whenever you die. He knows. Our God knows our fleshly condition. And He knows that we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed. And so you'll hear me refer to many times to a building called the tabernacle. And the reason is because it gives us such a beautiful picture. I wish that you could see the picture of the tabernacle. It was a tent-like building, had a courtyard, and out in the courtyard was a brazen altar. And then just beyond that, towards the tabernacle itself, this tent-like building, was a brazen laver. And then you would go into the holy place and on into the Holy of Holies for feeding and then fellowship with God. Now, as you look at that, you realize that that brazen altar, that's where the innocent sacrifices were offered. Now, it was just animals. And so just animals being offered there on behalf of ourselves, because the perfect Lamb of God had not come. And He would come, and He has come 2,000 years ago and died on the cross of Calvary. On the hill of Golgotha, outside of Jerusalem, Jesus died on that cross, took our sins away, and rose again. Not only did He take our sins away, as far as our God is concerned, as far as God the Father is concerned, the only thing He sees is the precious blood of Jesus, because Jesus has taken our sin away. Well, back to this tabernacle. You've got the brazen altar, then you've got the brazen laver. So you see, once you've come to the cross, which the altar stands for, then the next step, the next place that you arrive to is the brazen laver. And that's for washing. Because you see, living in this old filthy world, we get dirty. And we need our God to help us to cleanse us. Well, that's exactly what that laver does. It, on a daily basis, it takes away those ugly habits that we had when we were lost and sets us free. It also, at the cross, it not only saved us and took our sin away, but it took the dominion, the control away. And for the first time, we have, because the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts the day we're saved, we have the power over sin. We never had it before. It controlled us completely. Now today, sin controls us. But that dominion can stop that habit. We are saved from that. All we need to do is come and enjoy the Word of God and wash with that Word. And when we do, we're only saved, but then we begin to live a very victorious life. Every believer in the future will be saved entirely from the very presence of sin. Now that will take place the day that we die or Jesus raptures the church, because that's the next event to take place. We're going to be in the church age until then, and then the church will be raptured, and then we will be absent from the very presence of sin. Now that will be a joyful time. But our God abides in us, and we need to abide in Him. He lives in our hearts, and we need to give Him permission. We need to give Him the opportunity, yield to Him, abide in Him, allow Him to have His will in our hearts and our lives, and we'll begin to enjoy a wonderful walk each day with Him. You see, salvation comes by God's grace through faith. Salvation is God's free gift. to a hell-deserving sinner without works. There is no works attached to that. God does it all. He does all the saving. Now, we have some religions that have believed then that makes it a universal salvation and all are saved. That's not true at all. In God's precious word, he makes it very clear to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You must be born again. We understand in Romans that you must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You see, there are lost those that reject that precious, sweet message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died for you. Will you accept him as your Savior? Believe in him and trust in him. Please call upon him today. Say, Jesus, will you please save me? There's no works connected with that, none whatsoever. If you feel the urging right now, if you feel, you don't really understand it, but you, for the first time, you're listening and you want to know more, then please stop where you are and turn around because Jesus wants you to come to him. And once you've made that single decision, just to give him that opportunity, you will be saved. So please turn to him and call upon him today. Again, verse 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The nature of the gospel is the power of God. That word power, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word power in our language, in the English language, is the same word for dynamite. The gospel is the tool, is the dynamite that he will use to blast the devil and sin right out of the human heart to those that embrace the gospel by faith. That's a perfect example of what happens the day that you say yes to Jesus. It's just like a full load of dynamite, and it just explodes because for the first time, you will feel the victory. You'll feel the power. You'll feel the opportunity that you have to have victory over sin, over the world, and please begin to grow. But it must start at that brazen altar in the tabernacle, which is the cross of Calvary. That's where Jesus died for your sins. Please call upon him today, trust in him today, and your life will begin to change. And it is the gospel has that power equal to dynamite. And that's the same word for power here in the 16th verse. For it is the power of God unto salvation. We have salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ. We have salvation from the penalty and from the power and from the very presence of sin. That's the victory that comes when we trust in the Lord Jesus. And the 17th verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just have always lived by faith. Always. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. The just or the justified, those that are saved, have always come by faith and live by faith, believing this precious book. Let's take just a minute and go back to Hebrews chapter 11, because it is the faith chapter. And as we look, we can see in Hebrews chapter 11, I hope that you found that, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. Man today tries to figure everything out. But we begin and we go all the way back to Abel. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Did you ever wonder why that God did not accept Cain's and he accepted Abel's? It's very simple. I believe Cain probably brought his best, but you see, it was grain. It was not the blood and the sacrifice of an animal. God had set it up that it should be that way. Cain knew it, Abel knew it, but Cain decided to start his own religion. And if you're in a religion today, if you're in, and I hesitate to use the word church, but that's what everybody uses, if you're in a church today that they do not preach clearly the need to come by faith to Jesus, and I ask you, and I've asked you this before, go to your preacher, ask them why they don't preach about Jesus and about needing a personal relationship, because you see, it's not a religion that I serve, it is a man, God, Jesus, living. I serve a living God today. I praise a living God. A living God saved me, and his name is Jesus. So you please come to him. Abel listened to the words of God. He brought the proper sacrifice, which was the shedding of blood. You see, nothing has ever changed. From the very beginning of time, God set out that salvation would come with an innocent sacrifice, that innocent sacrifice must die, that innocent sacrifice must shed its blood, and it must be God's plan. Not our plan, not our time, God's plan. And you see, that never changed from the time that Adam and Eve received the coats of skins that they received for their salvation. They received them, God gave them, God prepared them, God put them on them, but they had to receive them. And that's the same thing with you today. You must receive Jesus. Now, when Abel brought that sacrifice, he brought that knowing this is a promise to come. This is a picture of the Messiah that's going to save me. And by faith, he brought that. Now, Cain, he didn't listen to God. He didn't pay attention. And so when he didn't, that gift was refused. And so, please, listen today, because any other means that you try to come to God, to the Lord Jesus, if you don't come by faith to him, if you don't believe that he is your Savior, and you're coming through means of works of baptism or a certain church membership, you can join this church, you can serve in this church here, you can do everything, you can be scripturally baptized, you can do everything that you think is right, and you can go straight to hell. Because it's not about being a member of this church. It's not about being baptized. It's all about the person, Jesus. So come to know Jesus as your Savior. Abel was the first. In verse 5 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, we have Enoch. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see, Enoch knew that the Messiah was coming. And I can't save myself through works, but I can believe that Jesus, the Messiah, will come and save me. And he did. Noah, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. It had never rained. He was building this monstrous boat. God told him how. He told him the size. He told him everything to build. And he said, that's going to be your salvation. Noah believed it. There could have been any other person could have entered on there besides Noah and his family. But at that time, no one believed. The next is a beautiful picture of Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, knowing not whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, So in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is in the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, verse 13 says. And what that's talking about is, you know, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old, way past childbearing years. But God made a promise. He made a promise that your family, your descendants will be as the stars in the sky and as the sand in the seashore. That's how great and how strong in number you're going to be. And Abram believed him. Abram believed when he left Ur of Chaldees. He heard the word of God. He believed. Now, he had a little stumbling block because he took his dad with him. Had another little stumbling block. His name was called Lot, his nephew. And God let him go up to Haran. He wouldn't let him go any further. And Haran stands for fruitless, parched. And 6 years they lived there. And Terah, Abram's dad, died. And then God allowed Abram to continue then. You see, you're allowed a certain period of time there. But after a while, that old man must die. When that old man dies, then the victory begins. That old self has to go away, has to die. So you see, as we glance at these, you know, we have in verse 20, by faith Isaac. In verse 22 of the 11th chapter, by faith Joseph. In verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Rahab, by faith. It's wonderful as we look at that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You see, it's by faith. Started with Adam and Eve when they had eaten of the forbidden fruit. They tried to cover their sin by putting those fig leaves on, but that didn't work. They could have kept that, but salvation would have never been theirs. Instead of that, when God came with those bloody skins, and he put them on Adam, and he put them on Eve, and they accepted them, that was the salvation. That was a picture of the Messiah that was going to come, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. The devil, he hates the gospel. He hates for us to believe in the Word of God. And it's not a blind believing. Once you've come by faith to Jesus, he comes and lives within your heart. What a glorious day. And you begin to grow and learn. There's no question. It's not a blind faith. But we know the devil hates the gospel. In 119, the book of Psalms, 119, and if we look at the 89th verse, it says, "Forever, O Lord, the word is settled in heaven." What a beautiful scripture verse. This precious word, the word of God, and we have it complete today. The Old Testament, they had to continue to bring the sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they had the prophets. They had those to come and give the Word of God. But we have it all now. We have to Revelation. We have the complete book. And so please that you search this Word with the direction and the leadership of the precious Holy Spirit to know His way and His will. Now, these first 17 verses of this book is kind of an introduction. But now as we start with the 18th verse. Next time we get together, that's where we're going to start. Verse 18, it clearly speaks of the guilty world, the wrath of God that's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness. That's where we'll start. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?